Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
Another Saturday in CCO land has rolled around. Time once again for a little car care. If you have any kind of a question, you want to always ask a mechanic, maybe your question, or maybe you're having trouble with your car, your truck, your van, and before you bring it in for service, your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, you might want to know what could be ailing. We'll get you a little analysis over the radio. The guy to do that is ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Welcome to the last day of February. Kind of hard to believe March. Where did February go? But it's been probably a busy one for you and your crew at Lloyd's.
I think like most, I'm happy February's over. It's the longest, the hardest, it's the shortest, but the hardest month out of the year. It's gray and cold and everything else. So yeah, we're looking forward. It sounds like we're getting a little bit of snow today, but that's okay. It'll be warm again and the sun's higher in the sky. So just hold on, folks. We're almost to the end.
It'll be more melting this week, probably producing more potholes, maybe some more work for your crews, but that's a whole other thing. Yeah, we always like to invite our listeners to join in on this conversation sooner rather than later, because not only does our time go by quickly, Nick takes his leave about 7:45, making way for Ted Ferrell's Wine Chat. So if any kind of a car care question, give us a call or send a text, just one number for either 651-461-9226. Interesting question that came in earlier this morning, and we do talk about getting, if you're going to buy a used car, see if the owner will let you get it checked out at Lloyd's, for example. This texter says this: good morning. If I'm buying a used car from a dealership, should I still take it into my mechanic for a check? And any other advice for buying a used car? It's a good question to kick off the show. What about advice? Or what about a dealership? Can you ask them to check it out someplace else?
Yeah, you can for sure. I mean, before you buy any vehicle, I think it's fair to say it should be inspected. Depending on the dealership, they may have done an inspection and your relationship with them might be telling of that. Keep in mind, they likely took that in on a trade-in. So it's not a vehicle that they necessarily had service and had a long history with. So somebody traded in, they in turn are trading the vehicle to you or someone else. So I would make sure there's an inspection, whether they've done it or you have your people do it, but you should really know what you're spending all the money in before you do.
All right. Good question. Again, 651-461-9226. Good morning. Tim Minneapolis sends this one in. 2021 Kia Forte, 45,000 miles on it. Tim's recently retired. Good going. He will drive about 2,500 miles, I assume 25,000. every five to six months. His question is, should I now have oil changed every 5,000 or every 5 to 6 months? Great show. He loves the show. And he says he remembers me doing the nighttime news at 10 o'clock every Sunday night. Well, I did it a lot more, Tim. That's true. Anyway, you can answer your question, then I have a little bit of a comment for Tim. What about the oil change? I think this is pretty common these days. What do you think about folks that don't drive, like Tim says, maybe about $2,500 a year?
You know, I think it's fair to say that the vehicle should be inspected twice a year. You know, it just a lot happens in the course of the year with the heat of the summer and the cold of the winter and everything in between. So I think the vehicle should be inspected. At that time, they can, you know, look at the condition of the oil. If they have any reason or recommendation, they might want to do it twice a year or they might just do it once a year. And I think that's either way could be fine depending on the vehicle and the condition of the fluid. So have it inspected twice a year. They can make the determination if they change the oil or not based on, you know, conversation with you. But, you know, it's not just the oil. It's the suspension, the steering. You mentioned potholes, Denny, and, you know, we're getting into that season. There's a lot of wear and tear. So we want to have our eyes on that to make sure everything's safe for the driver.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we've talked about it before. When someone brings in their vehicle for an oil and filter change, what does the mechanic do? What does the technician do each time? It's not just change the oil and filter.
No, it's not just change the oil and filter. You know, you take your vehicle in for service. It should be thoroughly inspected. You're checking the tires, the lights, the steering, suspension, any noises or any of that kind of stuff that has happened over the last several months. We want to put our eyes on to make sure, you know, usually if there's a noise or something that's different than the norm, that's because something's wearing out. So we want to get our eyes on that to see to what extent, maybe make a recommendation for repair then or plan for something for the future. But having that car looked at kind of keeps you on top of things and hopefully prevents any kind of breakdown.
Just a side note, thanks, Tim, for that comment. And Tim was mentioning when he remembers me doing the nighttime news. What we had was, that's what we called it, nighttime news. Every night at 10 o'clock, they called us staff announcers. We did all the news and the weather. The news people, the journalists in the newsroom, they wrote it. They did all the typing, yes, on typewriters. And we, in turn, did all of the reading. And we had every night 10 o'clock news, ever since they tell me Cedric Adams' time. Some folks may remember him. It was before my time, by the way. We had 6 minutes of CBS news, then about 8-10 minutes of local news. Sometimes Steve Cannon would come in and do the sports. And then we had the weather. Usually 5 states. We did the 5-state weather. So he's bringing back an old memory. It was a long time ago, Tim, but had a lot of fun back then, too. All right, back to our car care. 651-461-9226. Let me see if I can piece this together. It comes in a bunch of sentences here. It's a 2004 Dodge Ram 1500, 5.7 engine. My brake pedal goes to the floor. I don't see any brake fluid in the reservoir. Could my problem possibly be a bad, rusty brake line, or could it be something else? Thanks for the show. Please keep up the great work. Well, thank you. Thanks for joining us. What do you think about that brake issue?
We want to be very cautious for sure, because if the brake pedal is going to the floor, that tells us, and they mentioned the reservoir is empty, so there's a leak somewhere. Definitely could be a rusty brake line. Could be a caliper, a fitting, the reservoir itself, the master cylinder, a lot of places where that fluid could be going. But the fact that it's leaking tells us we don't have any of that hydraulic pressure. So in the event of having to stop, you may not be able to. So that vehicle should not be driven, definitely should be towed in, get it in the air and try to find that source of that leak.
We mentioned it, and we always like to, that any kind of a car care question, maybe it's something you've always wanted to ask a mechanic. Debbie sent this in, and I don't think we've ever had that general question like this. What would you say, Nick, are the most, let's see if I get this right, most common car problems when somebody brings in vehicle? What do you see at your shop? Most common.
You know, it kind of seasonal, I suppose. You know, we get a lot of concerns about heat going into the winter months, a lot of air conditioning questions in the summer months. And I suppose a lot of brakes and like steering suspension type noises as we transition through the springtime. So the things that bother us the most, you know, the heat, the cold, the roads are usually the types of problems for the cars also, I guess. I would say as we roll into March and April, we'll see a lot of steering suspension, wear and tear type issues. Come May, when we hit that 90 degree day, our doors will be full of air conditioning work, and it kind of transitions as the year goes around.
Have you I'll put you on the spot here. And I think I heard this story many years ago. It was not at a shop. It was at a Quick Oil, or one of those places that strictly do oil changes. Someone forgot to tighten the pan plug. And consequently, the oil leaked out and bad stuff. Have you ever seen that in your career? I know that doesn't happen at Lloyd's, but have you ever heard of that happening?
We have, you know, and keep in mind, you know, we're all human and yes. Humans make mistakes. Unfortunately, a drain plug is a very costly mistake. We actually have one that was brought into Lloyd's. It was serviced elsewhere, but there's a third party involved and they need to have a middle person, and we're that middle person. So we're working with an outfit to replace an engine on a vehicle where the same thing happened. And it does happen. You know, it's not that it's intentional.
Of course.
You know, like I said, people are human. Humans make mistakes. It's unfortunately a drain plug is probably the most expensive mistake on a car, but it can happen.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to be the one that forgot that. All right. Right after the break, we're going to talk to Jerry in Minnetonka. So hang on, Jerry. We're going to get to your phone call. And everybody else, if you want to send a text or give Nick a call, either way, Nick will be with us till about 7:45, answering any kind of a car care question you may have. 651-461-9226. 18 degrees going to 21 today here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's another Saturday morning when we talk cars, trucks, vans, and the problems you may be having with yours. And maybe some solutions, at least find out what's wrong with them. Thanks to Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul answering those questions. Nick, for those that need some assistance from Lloyd's, tell us how we find you guys.
Yes, sir. If you ever have a question and need some advice, we're here to help. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, you can find us on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue. If you need more information, do check our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll get you that info before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45. So call us, text us with your questions, 651-461-9226. Speaking of phones, let's grab a call or two. Jerry has been waiting there in Minnetonka to ask you something. Thanks, Jerry. What is your question?
Good morning, Nick. Say, you guys, I have an older high-performance, higher horsepower performance engines, older engines, and I've been running like 1040 conventional Valvoline for my lifetime. Never had any problems with them. What do you think if I would switch to synthetic oil?
Well, you know, it's if there's a reason to switch the fluid, you know, I'd like to say if you have something you've been using or doing for a long time, it's a performance vehicle, something that was built for said type of weight of oil, honestly, I'd probably stick with what you've been using. I'd hate to create any issues or any potential problems. Obviously on a newer vehicle or anything other than that, I would tell you follow the manufacturer's recommendation. They might have a range of oil weights to use. Obviously 1040 is a very thick and heavy oil from years past. A lot of performance engines use that type of oil. Today's vehicles obviously use a much lighter weight oil as we touch on often. So I would say, I would stick with what you've been using unless there's a reason, you know, the engine builder, somebody's giving some advice otherwise and they have a reasoning for it. But, you know, other than that, I would stick with what you've been doing all along.
Good advice. Thanks, Jerry. Hank is calling in from Hudson this morning. Hank, what is your question for Nick?
Well, my question is I've been dealing with the same dealer for maybe 20 years on my vehicles, and I have presently a Jeep that I really like. I've had it serviced with oil changes, brakes. But I came into a big problem with a heater core here a couple of years ago. They had to tear the dash out, and that was very expensive. Now they got to go back in because the vents, I'm not sure what they call it. It's where you turn your vent for heat up and defrost. The flaps aren't opening or actuating. And it's going to be about a $2,000, $2,500 repair. And can I negotiate a price with them on that? I mean, as a consumer, can I say, hey, I've been a longtime customer. Can you cut me a little reduction in the price of that repair? And the other question I had was the guy that was talking about oil. AMSOIL says 10,000 on fully synthetic, where the dealers say, no, we got to change it every 5. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. What do you think, Nick?
So pricing, obviously, you can have a conversation. You can mention that they did the heater core, and within a certain amount of time, is that something that could have been affected? You know, you're dealing with the dash, the heater box. Was something inadvertently unplugged? Was there something damaged? You know, so I think if you have a good relationship, you can have those conversations. If you need more information, maybe they can demonstrate or show you. Maybe they have images or pictures or some data that kind of support that. So I think a conversation is great. That's how you get to the bottom and have you satisfied, make sure they're treated fairly. Everybody wins in those situations. On the motor oil, I'm on board with the 5,000 miles on a synthetic oil. I've said many times, I believe that, you know, AMSOIL or some of these other products will say that they're good for 10, 15,000 miles. And I don't dispute that. But what I, based on my experience with all the cars that we seem to do a heck of a lot of repair related to oil. And what I mean by that is when the oil breaks down, sludge is created, things become restricted, oil flow is not as good as it once was, and we run into problems with different systems there. Trying to stay at 5,000 miles keeps fresh oil in there, allows those detergents to clean and prevent or minimize the buildup. So the longer we go, the more likely those things can happen. There's a lot of different products, a lot of different marketing out there, but I agree with the 5,000 miles on a synthetic oil change.
Very good. So we have another phone call, then we'll get back to some text. Joe is calling in from Maplewood. Hi, Joe. Thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Hey, kind of an oil issue, too. I have a RAV4, and it's sad that these Toyotas are burning oil, being that they're so good. Anyways, about a week, I go about 2 quarts of oil. Now, it's recommended for 5W20. I'm going to change the engine in the summertime. Can I just put any oil in it since it's burning now, or should I stick with 520?
Well, I think 520 is probably on the lower price point. You know, if you were in a pinch, you need to change the oil weight and you went one grade up or down, probably not the end of the world. I wouldn't be using the 1040 that the gentleman was using on his high performance vehicle. If you're burning a lot of oil, you're trying to kind of like fill that gap, something inexpensive, keeping it full is most important. But if it's 520 or if it's 530 or 020, you're all within that same range. I don't think you're going to hurt anything too much, especially as much as it's burning. So I think it's fair to say the least expensive price point probably helped bridge that gap until you can get that fixed for you.
Very good. Looking at another text came in a bit ago. Denny and Nick, I have a 2016 Honda Pilot, and the tailgate does not completely close sometimes. The latch is sticking. How do I loosen it?
Well, we need to figure out why. Is it the latch itself that's not clasping? Is there something that's one of the hinges or the striker? There's something that's obviously changed. You know, having that looked at, figure out where it's either binding up or not properly sealing. And also, we don't want to have a problem with a latch that could fail, you know, because that's even more frightening because now, like, could open up and anything in the back of the vehicle could fall out. So I would say I'd get on somebody's schedule, have them try to determine exactly what it is. Maybe they can clean the latch. You know, I don't think that's likely, but you never know. Something could got caught up in there, some kind of debris or something restricting it from clasping properly. So I would have it looked at, definitely have it repaired because, like I said, we don't have that open up and have a bunch of stuff fall out of there.
A couple of days ago, I was looking at the basement as some of the stuff I've gathered, and I came across some graphite. And I thought, I don't know why I bought this. I must have bought it for some lubrication business. When somebody has a problem with the latches, door latches, tailgate, and brings it to Lloyd's, what kind of lubricant would your technician use to kind of make it work okay?
I mentioned graphite. I like graphite. We like to use things that are not going to collect dirt. You know, some of those petroleum-based products that seem to, it really freed things up. It did today, but tomorrow you might end up gumming it up with more stuff. So we want to use something that's not going to collect any dust or dirt. Graphite's a great product. Some of the silicone products, you know, and we want to be sparingly. We don't want to overdo it. A little goes a long ways. So I would say I would, you know, try a light product. Even on that latch, you know, the door locks, all these things you mentioned, door hinges, you know, they start to squeak a little bit. You put a little bit of graphite or silicone in there, work it a little bit, kind of let it work its way in, and it can go a long way. So, but definitely not something that's going to collect dirt and make it kind of get all gummed up and make it actually worse for yourself in the long run.
Makes sense. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break and have a look at that weather forecast, and we'll have more show to come. Any kind of a car question, let's hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Question we get to Nick from time to time, does an electric vehicle use antifreeze?
Yes, they do. There's a lot of heat generated in those electric vehicles, so there are cooling systems and different than the conventional oil or engine, obviously, but they still have cooling systems, thermostats, water pumps, and they do have issues. They do need service and maintenance, too. So if you have an electric vehicle, check your owner's manual. It's not maintenance-free. Different types of maintenance, but there's still work to be done.
All right. Interesting. By the way, Nick will be here for about another 8-10 minutes or so. Take advantage of it. 651-461-9226. You can tell me what this texter wants to know. Is a decarbon service necessary when there's no issue at 25,000 miles? What's that texter wanting to know?
Well, if we're talking decarbon, like in the intake of an engine, that is a common service. The way the fuel systems have changed, the way the fuel injection has changed, we've put the fuel injector inside the combustion chamber. It's no longer in the intake plenum, meaning that that fuel's not cleaning the back of those valves. So we get a little carbon built up. Depending on the make and the model, it should be done for sure. I can't tell you the condition of yours or that mileage. That seems a little early, but if there's a reason based on the conversation, they can justify why it should be done now. I would hear that out. But just to do it, I think that might be a little bit early.
What is that process, Nick? How is that done?
Well, there's a few ways. Sometimes they'll use like walnut shells and like an attachment with like kind of like a vacuum. They kind of spray them in there to clean it up. There are chemical products, too, that will be put into the intake manifold, work its way through there, get the backs of the valves clean again. Not really a do-it-yourselfer type product because you have to be very careful not to overdo it. You don't want to get any of that product into the engine in the manner where it could damage something. Or if you had a significant amount in there, it could create damage other ways, too. So you have to definitely follow the procedure, have the tools and the training to do it. But it is becoming more of a common theme that we do see with engines. I think 25,000 miles on a regular routine, probably a little bit early, like I said, but have that conversation that they can demonstrate and explain why they're doing it and have good information that, after you hear them out, probably not the worst thing to get done.
All right, very good. Texter sends this in, a 2005 Buick LeSabre, no brake lights. The bulbs are good, the fuse good. What could be the possible causes?
Well, there's a switch at the base of the brake pedal. So when you depress the brake pedal, that switch opens up and it sends a signal to turn those brake lights on. I would suspect maybe something there. Our fuse is good. Our bulb is good. We always talk about wiring and connections, getting the wiring from the front to the back of the vehicle. Sometimes it can get pinched. Sometimes it can get in a spot where there'd be some even rodent damage or possibly corrosion. So somebody gets a wiring diagram, starts at point A and works their way through that diagram, you're going to find the source where we're losing the power, and that's why the lights are not working.
Okay. Texter says, I hear you guys talking a lot about check engine lights. What are the most common issues when I see my check engine light?
Well, I would say the most common issue and where it's kind of sometimes been referred to as a gas cap light, if we leave our fuel cap off, and the vehicle does a emissions self-test, it'll learn that there's a leak there because the cap is not sealed and secure. It'll turn the light on and store that code. There's only one light, and people might assume, oh, it's just a gas cap. Well, there could be a lot of other issues that are more critical to the engine and the operation of the vehicle that could be expensive or could leave you stranded. So don't assume anything. When the check engine light comes on, there's hundreds of possible codes that could be stored. At a minimum, have the code retrieved, have them do the basic diagnosis to kind of get you an idea of what's happening there. Once you have that information, you can make a determination how critical it is. Also keep in mind, if the light is on and somebody looks at it and says, oh, it's something to do with the emission system, with the evaporative, with the fuel cap or something along those lines, if you choose not to repair that, obviously that's your choice. But if something else goes on, there's not another light that can come on. There's only one light. So my advice is usually resolve anything turning that light on because you don't want to have a situation where you're stranded because you could have done the repair and saved yourself a lot of heartache.
Yeah, and money. Grab another phone call. Paul is calling in from Egan this morning. Hey, Paul, what is your question?
Yeah, I've got a 2009 Honda CR-V. Car runs great. We got 130,000 miles on it. Keep it serviced. All of a sudden, the VSA light came on along with the exclamation point and the check engine. So I headed in. They went through the codes, cleared some things, but it's still coming on. So whenever we drive it up, you know, trying to get up to speed, it surges on you. Once you get over to a certain speed, it just goes fine. But it just intermittently comes on, goes off. You can turn the car off, push the button, and then it'll go off. The next time you drive it, it'll come on. Wondering where to go with that.
Well, I would, whoever worked on it, take it back. Obviously, there's a repair order with hopefully some good notes and descriptions of what was found, what the codes were, what they determined through some testing. Sounds like we need to take the next step. So whatever was going on, documented. Let's get a new set of information now. Compare that, you know. And so we had the repair done. We had a bunch of information related to this. We got a similar thing still going on. Let's get some more information out of the car's computer system. Compare the two. Hopefully those will lead you down the path to resolve that, you know. Sometimes the intermittent problems are the hardest because you need to catch it in the act. Sounds like in this situation, if you leave it with them, they should be able to drive the vehicle and experience it. Get that information out of the car's computer system, do some testing, and hopefully get you back on the road with a working car.
Very good. Good morning. Texture says, I have a 2012 Ford Fusion with a 2.5-liter engine, 155,000 miles on it. Recently, when the car's cold, the transmission shifts hard if I accelerate more quickly. Could it be just low on transmission fluid, no sign of leakage on the garage floor, or something more serious? What do you think?
Well, I don't know for sure, but the car's telling you it's not happy. So my best advice to anyone, when you notice something's different, boy, it's certainly shifting harder, starting harder, running differently, not as well. That's the car telling you that something's wrong. So do get that in. Have somebody take a look at it. And as always, it doesn't mean you need to spend a lot of money today, but at least figure out what's going on. In this situation, if it's low on fluid and there's a small leak that they can resolve and fix, that prevents from creating, you know, expensive damage to a transmission. You need to fix that, you know. And if you ignore it, you end up with a bigger problem you could have avoided. So I know cars are expensive, and we don't always understand how they work or what's going on. And that's, if you notice, I always talk about having that conversation, ask those questions, get a second opinion. But as soon as you have a conversation, someone can demonstrate what they want to do and why. It makes it a lot easier to understand, and then you know what you're spending your money on. But to avoid it or ignore it definitely is not going to be the best path.
Yeah, I think, Nick, we have time for maybe one more text. As far as shocks replacement, how do you know when to replace my shocks, and what does a mechanic do to check on that?
Well, it's a visual inspection. If we see any kind of leaking, we'll get it on the ground and we'll joust the vehicle, maybe pushing down on the bumper and kind of see how they rebound. Tire wear, concerns about noise or ride quality. So there's a different types of reasons that we do shocks or struts. It's one of those things I promise you that when we do them, you notice a world of difference with new shocks or struts on the vehicle versus the worn out ones. The car just rides smoother, rides nicer. So if your car's got over 100,000 miles when it's in for service, have them take a look. Maybe they can make some advice or recommendation based on an inspection.
That makes sense. Well, Nick, we're just about out of time. Why don't you tell folks again how they get in touch with the good guys at Lloyd's?
Absolutely. If you have a question, as always, do call. We will answer. We don't mind. 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue. And if you need more information, do check our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that very thing. And Nick, have a great week and come on back next week.
Sounds like a deal. Thanks, Danny.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.